morning. Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. So later in the program, we're going to be speaking with Robert Knott, speaking of the arts. We're also going to be talking with Aaron Levittman about a new literary series. Actually, it's not so new, but a literary series he's involved in. Right now, I would like to welcome Bill Hutchison. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Welcome, Bill.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. It's the something Friday of the month.
It's Animal Friday. Yeah, Animal Friday kind of moves around. We're not really sure whether it is no longer the first Friday of the month.
It, like an animal, has a mind of its own.
That's right, and it has migratory patterns.
Yes, it does. Although pattern implies some sort of regularity.
Yeah. Well, we're here to talk today about animal behavior, specifically dog behavior.
Specifically dog behavior, and I think we can certainly jump over the boundary into cat behavior, too. One of the things that we've really noticed over the last year or two at the shelter is animals are surrendered to us primarily because of behavior issues. That's what fractures these families, what fractures these relationships. Are behavior issues that are hard to address.
Something that you might call bad dog?
You might call it bad dog, and I think the temptation is strong to call it bad dog, and I think the temptation could be also strong to call it bad human, but I think a lot of the time it's really just more of a lack of communication. Seems like that's what fractures many human relationships as well, and there's a lesson we can draw from that, that learning how to communicate properly is the key to maintaining a functional relationship.
So you're starting dog-human couples therapy.
That's exactly what it is. There are a number of resources out there that we want to talk about this morning, because these relationships that we see that get broken really do not need to be broken. These are not unfixable things. These are things that if we learn a little bit more about what it is to be a dog or what it is to be a cat, much more so with a dog, then you can maintain these relationships in a positive way. One of the things that we're going to start doing is, starting in April, every puppy that is adopted from us will have 6 free puppy classes that come along with the puppy.
That's huge.
It's huge. It really is.
I paid good money for puppy classes when Milk was little.
Absolutely. Puppy classes are quite pricey, and we have one of the Santa Fe's finest trainers. There are a number of really excellent trainers in Santa Fe who can help you out. But we're partnering with Suzanne Fuque, who is launching our Star Puppy program. Star Puppies are it's a program through AKC, although any mixed breed dog is going to be more than welcome. So for these young puppies, if they attend all 6 classes, they can get what we call Star Certified. And that really just means that you're going to be in good shape to go out into the world. And we're running it like much like Santa Fe's yoga studios do their yoga programs, where it's drop-in. You get a punch card with your adoption for 6 classes. If you can't make it every week, you can certainly just keep on coming. And it gives these pups a really good chance at having a super high-functioning life out in the world. I was looking at the list of supplies that Suzanne wants for our classes, and it's things like a big floppy hat and a fake nose and glasses and a big fake beard and umbrellas and canes. And these are the sort of things that it may surprise you, but they're exactly what make dogs freak out. They're the sort of things that surprise animals that they don't know how to deal with.
Oh.
So you understand what, if you're a dog, you understand what the shape of a human looks like. And all of a sudden, there's a human with a big, wide, floppy head and some strange sort of thing living on its face. And it may seem silly, but these things are really, indeed, can be terrifying things for dogs. Even glasses. Not all of them, but some of them. So learning how to interact with these different sort of shaped people, learning how to interact with different things in their environment, that's tremendous. The world can be a scary place if you don't understand it, and it's difficult enough for us as humans to understand.
So what you're saying is that the more different kinds of people dogs see, the less scared they are, and fear is one of the main causes of their behavior problems.
Absolutely. I've seen some really interesting things happen with some of the training that we've done with these younger dogs, like having them walk through a tunnel or having them walk over a slatted surface. My sweet Chloe, who we lost in December, would never walk over a grate or a cattle guard or anything like that. It just absolutely terrified her. She would walk far out of her way to avoid walking over something like that. Why? Because I didn't accustom her to that, get her accustomed to that before she was sort of locked into these behaviors. And locked in is probably a bit unfair. I think you can work with just about any dog to really help them out.
I was reading a book yesterday in which there was a discussion of neural development in infants and toddlers, and I imagine that there's a similar thing with dogs, which is that the more stimuli they get when they're, at least in humans, when they're very small, the more neurons they actually grow and the more dendrites and so on, and that gets them a lot further mentally in adulthood.
Absolutely, and it's really our responsibility to do that. There's some really interesting research out there right now on domesticated animals and how domesticated animals, even when they're adults, are essentially infantilized wolves, dogs anyway. So when you've completely bred out some of what happens naturally in a wolf's environment, that they get used to these things, they have strategies and ideas and ways of interacting with their world that are functioning and flexible and intelligent and creative. We certainly imagine that our dogs are quite smart, and indeed many of them are, but they don't have quite these same wild instincts that they used to. That puts the onus on us to fill in the blanks that have disappeared because they've become our domestic partners in this world. So beyond the puppy classes, there are so many resources in this community to get your dog some education. We wouldn't imagine having a child in this world and not sending it to school, not sending this kid to school, having it learn everything that it can. We don't send them to school for grins or to get them out of the house, although I suspect a certain amount of that happens, but mostly to give them a leg up in interacting with the world with a certain basic set of skills. To that same end, it is surprising how many people bring a dog home and never think about that, never think about the fact that you may indeed need to give your animal some basic skills to help it be high-functioning in the world. And I think if we put our minds on that, the realization of how obvious and how necessary it is becomes immediate and just incredibly important.
What are some of those actual skills that you can teach puppies, besides how to not be scared of a guy with a funny hat and glasses?
Really simple things, like one of the things that our volunteers work on with our dogs at the shelter, and it's not just puppies, but things like when you come to the door of their kennel, they don't jump up on it. When they come to you, they don't jump up on you. We call it four on the floor. And super simple behaviors like that, just learning how to sit, how to focus on you as a person, how to pay attention to what you need them to pay attention to. Really, these skills are not hugely different than what we want children to pay attention to. You don't want them to run out into traffic, so you teach them certain basic behaviors about not doing that. And with dogs, it's very much the same thing. When you come to a door, you don't want your dog to run out the door. Learning that simple behavior is, not only is it really good for giving them some discipline and some ideas of how to be in the world, but how to keep them safe and how to keep them healthy. We end up with a lot of dogs surrendered to the shelter who someone has said, you know, he just sits in the backyard and barks all day long. I don't understand it. And we ask things like, what does your dog have in the backyard? Well, he's got the whole yard to run around in. Well, sure, you can put a kid out in the yard and ask him to run around in circles, but it gets really boring after a while. And guess what? Your dog is really not that different. You just put him out in the yard and imagine that he's going to entertain himself, play some sort of mental tic-tac-toe, or create a Rubik's Cube out of grass clippings and gravel. It's not going to happen.
Well, also, if you've established yourself as the alpha in the pack, they're kind of waiting for you to do something all the time.
They are often, and there are also some interesting studies on alpha dogs, and really the dogs are more cooperative than they necessarily are hierarchical, although they certainly do look to us for that. But just giving them some stimuli.
Dogs are totally hierarchical. Are you kidding me?
They are they absolutely are hierarchical, but I think we discount and we are learning more about how cooperative that hierarchy teaches them how to work in a more cooperative way. It's very much like, and I'm talking a little bit about things that I'm not quite as well versed as I wish I was, but I imagine it a little bit like, and I hate this example and I apologize in advance, but the military. The military is hierarchical not because you have to have dominion over one or the other, but because it's really important to know who does what and how we can all work together. And that's how dogs function in a not totally dissimilar way. But dogs need some kind of stimulation to do. We go to work all day, and we can't be with our dogs every minute of every day, as much as we wish we could, and as much more fun as it would be than actually having to go to work. So even a dog who barks in the backyard, who chews at your fence, who digs holes all day, 99 times out of 100, that dog is just bored. And these behavior problems that break up families are not, they just don't have to be that way. They are very fixable things.
So what are you supposed to do with a dog who's alone for a good chunk of the day, even if it has a dog door?
Even if it has a dog door, give it a lot of things to play with. There are some great, one of the trainers that we know through the shelter showed me a game that she has the other day. And it's fascinating. It's a sort of dog puzzle game, and you put it on the floor, and there are these movable squares on top of little divots, and inside these divots are little pieces of kibble, and so the dog can move the covers that slide around on top of these divots around to get at the kibble beneath. It teaches them dexterity, it gives them confidence. These little puzzles really can keep them engaged for quite a while. I know with the new dog living at my house, the Dingo, we call him, he really needs things that can keep him occupied, and even just something, he really loves his rope toys, and he can play with his rope toys and his little bones forever, and he really enjoys it. They're big and chunky and safe, so he's not going to swallow them, but it just gives him something to do while he's there for many hours at a time by himself.
What's the right combination of love and discipline for a dog?
30% discipline, 70% love.
Really?
No, I just made that up. You asked me like I was some kind of magical genius expert, so I wanted to have some kind of magical genius answer. I suppose it really depends on the dog.
The dog whisperer, who I know is not necessarily respected in animal welfare circles, but nevertheless whom I respect because I read one of his dog books, and it was good, says basically Americans tend to give dogs food, love, and then everything else. But what they really need is exercise, discipline, and then food and love.
I think that's probably true, although I would perhaps take discipline out and add education instead. I think that's perhaps a better way to do it, a better way to think of it. And there are lots of people who would disagree with this, so please, listeners, don't imagine that I'm pretending to be the be-all, end-all of dog behavior. There are lots of people smarter than me out there who can talk about this. But discipline, to me, that implies a sort of dominion relationship that I don't think is necessarily what we need to do with our animals. What we need to do is give them, and I do think that it's, I imagine it more like, again, like a kid and a parent. And a human child is very different than a young canine or a young feline. But what they really need is education from us on how to appropriately interact with their world. And part of that is discipline, but part of it is also, here's what you do in this situation. Here's what you do in this situation. Here's what you do in this situation. And once you build a set of skills, you can watch it with, and I keep using the human analog, even though they're quite different than us, it's not totally off base. If you give them a whole set of skills on how to interact in all these different situations, how can it not build confidence? How can it not give you a strong, confident, smart dog who can be really good at what they do?
We're talking to Bill Hutchison from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. I mean, a set of dog skills is basically when company comes over, you don't sit on their lap until invited.
Yes, exactly. There's certain basic behaviors that you really want. It's the same with your kid. When you have a kid, I don't know why I keep going back to kids. I don't have any. But when you do this, you really teach them how to be around people. It's much the same. So you have a dog in your home, and you teach your child, don't run up and pull his ears. And yet you don't teach your dog, don't run up and jump on people. This, to me, is a bit of a disconnect on how we can interact with our animals.
It's funny. I've got one of my dogs, when somebody comes in, likes to jump up and bite their shirt. That's probably something I should teach her not to do.
You know, I don't want to tell you how to how to raise your dog, but I think it's probably not a bad thing to start working on getting rid of that. Now,
yeah,
if you're having them tear the clothes off people you find attractive, perhaps you find some benefit in that. But on the whole,
they might not.
I suspect they're gonna not be as pleased.
Bill Hutchison. So what else is going on?
I wanted to tell our listeners out there about an interesting day we had yesterday. As you know, one of the things that the Santa Fe Animal Shelter does is work with hoarder cases in New Mexico. And with the Santa Fe County Animal Control, we collected, I think we ended up with just over 30 dogs from a Santa Fe County home yesterday who are all at the shelter now. It was not the worst day that we've ever had as far as hoarder cases go, but it certainly wasn't the best. We've got a whole number of dogs who are going to be coming up for adoption in the days and weeks to come. They're really, really pretty lovely. Some large dogs and a whole bunch of beautiful little chihuahuas. I would encourage our listeners, don't start calling us today. We're really still just working on processing and getting them healthy. But keep your eyes on our website. They will be coming up for adoption, and we're going to need homes for these guys.
What's up with hoarders?
What's up with hoarders? Boy, what a good question that is. There are a number of subspecies of hoarders, I think. There are some people who really just don't really understand the damage that they're causing to themselves and to people around them. And for folks like that, we really aim toward prosecuting them in order to get them some help. There is such a huge recidivism rate for hoarding that it's really important to have law enforcement involved. In this case...
Hoarding means that you just take a whole bunch of animals.
You've got more animals
home
than you can take care of.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this was certainly the case with this one. This one seems to me, and you know, it's still in process, so don't take this as the gospel truth of it, but this one seems to me much less about the sort of pathology of hoarding and more something a little more nefarious. The chihuahuas that we had were being bred and sold, and that's how some of the income was coming into this individual. They're both abhorrent, but this is a little, that to my way of thinking is a little bit more awful than the person who really just needs to be taken out of the situation and put into care so they can get some treatment because they don't understand the depth of what's wrong with what they're doing. This one doesn't strike me like that.
So one is greed and one is sort of pathological overflow of dog love.
Yes, absolutely. There's sort of, this one seemed more, and again, I'm we're still looking into it. Santa Fe County Animal Control is still dealing with this, but this one seemed much more the puppy mill end of hoarding than it did the pathological, in need of psychological treatment end of hoarding.
Now, how are the dogs?
They were in surprisingly good shape. We always fret about, you hear all the report before we go in, and then once the animals come out, it can be a whole different world, but really, these guys were in pretty good shape. They're relatively healthy. Some hair loss, some difficulty with some of the chihuahuas, but they're doing okay, and we think we're going to be able to get them into homes. But one of the difficulties for us is the incredible strain that it puts on the shelter. Like all other nonprofits, the shelter is really struggling right now. We have our big, beautiful facility, and we are streamlined, and we are running as efficiently as we possibly can. But we get 15 to 25 dogs every single day, and all of a sudden, on top of that, we got another 30-odd dogs. So the financial strain on the shelter, these guys are in relatively good shape, but it doesn't mean they're not going to need considerable medical and behavioral attention. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, as careful as we plan and as tightly as we budget, you simply cannot plan and budget for these things. You do not know when they're going to happen, and you do not know how intensely they're going to happen. And so when they nail us like this, it really takes a tremendous amount of resources. So for those out there listening, when they start coming up for adoption, would encourage you to come and visit with them. There are lots of other animals that are there who are going to need to be adopted to make room for them. Anybody who can make financial contributions, who can bring us donations of food, all these things go a ways to helping do what we do. It's nobody else in Santa Fe that cares for the animals that come in like this. This is our job. This is what we're here for. But it's really a community issue, and we need community support.
So when will these chihuahuas et al. Be available?
We really just don't know yet. I will make sure that once we have an idea of when we're going to be getting them ready to be adopted, there's going to be something up on our website so that folks can know and start visiting with them. But for those who've been thinking about getting an animal, I would encourage you to not wait until these hoarder animals are ready. I know it's kind of lovely and makes one feel heroic to adopt a hoarder rescuee. I know that I have one, and I'll admit that I'm proud of it. But we need to make room in our adoption kennels for these dogs when they're coming. So if you've been thinking about adopting a dog, now's the time to come and look at our kennels and get these guys into your home so that those who are getting ready and have been rescued from this hoarding situation can have a place to go. And I certainly don't want to discount our cats. We didn't get any cats out of this particular hoarding situation, but they certainly need homes just as urgently.
Or out of this particular conversation even. But
yes.
There is cuteness abounding at the animal shelter, puppy cuteness, grown doggy cuteness. And for those who think that adopting a grown doggy is risky because you don't know what you're getting and you can't train it, I have adopted several grown-up dogs, and they are so good.
Absolutely.
They're better than the puppy that I trained. I'm ashamed to say.
I love puppies. I'm glad we're offering these free puppy classes, but I'll tell you, after nearly 7 years of working at the shelter, the one thing that I cannot imagine in my future is ever adopting a puppy again. It is an incredible and rewarding experience, but it is exhausting. They're really wonderful, and you can have this lifetime bond, but
puppies, you can't put anything on your table or on your couch or on your floor ever for 2.5 years.
Yes, I would like to say that is an exaggeration, but having my Chloe for her whole life, that was certainly indeed the case. I often feel like we're trying to sell people on adopting older dogs, but for those of you who have adopted older dogs, you know you don't have to be sold.
You know,
it is an incredible experience.
They're so sweet and good and grateful because they know that
absolutely,
you've saved them.
Absolutely they have. For those that want to keep up with the hoarding situation, whatever we have going on at the shelter event-wise, all our adoptable animals, you can visit us on the web at www.sfhumanesociety.org. And you can always email me. You can email me through the contact portion of our website, or you can just send a note to info@sfhumanesociety.org, and that will come to yours truly.
Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and we'll see you in
a certain amount of time.
We'll see you on another Friday.
That sounds
next
great.
Next month.
Have a good day, Mary Charlotte.
You too. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'm very happy now to welcome Aaron Leventman. He is part of a writer's read. It's a local reading series that's been going on for a while. And he is presenting a reading of a play called All That Porcelain and the Value of Empty Boxes. Is that two plays? Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Is it two plays or one?
The Value of Empty Boxes is the name of my play that's going to be read. And then All That Porcelain is a short story being read by Philip Retzky.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually two pieces that are going to be read on the 21st.
And so this is happening on Sunday, the 21st of March at 4:30 at the Wild Oats Community Room, which is near Professional Tires. It's right next to Wild Oats on Cordova Road,
exactly,
for those of you who live in Santa Fe. Tell us a little bit about your play.
Sure. The Value of Empty Boxes I've actually been working on for a couple years, and I've been developing it at the Playwright Director's Unit at the Armory for the Arts. And Chuck Maynard, who's directing the reading, has been working on it with me, and it's a one-act play. I'd call it sort of a romantic comedy with a lot of dramatic aspects to it, and it's about a young woman in New York City who's a struggling artist who works at a dead-end office job, and she meets a real estate developer that she falls in love with, and he sweeps her off her feet, and she ends up moving in with him to San Francisco within a few months of them meeting. And she realizes that this real estate developer is a sort of a nomad, and he's somebody that moves every couple years. And after they've been together for a while, he has the itch, and he's ready to move again, and she has to decide whether to stay with him or to sort of continue on his travels with him. And so it's looking at contemporary relationships and sacrifices.
So it's not like he's a bad guy. It's just
he's not a bad guy. He's just a roamer.
Yeah.
And she has to decide whether she's a roamer or whether she wants to stay put and develop her art career, which is starting to take off when they get together.
Right.
So it's looking at compromises in relationships and the sort of conflict that arises between career and love. and negotiating between places and romance, and what's important to you, what sacrifices you're willing to make, what might be too much to make, what you have to work out, you know, together if you love the person you're with. So
very interesting. It's a very common problem.
It is.
It happens a lot with academics.
You think?
Well, not that one of them
jobs.
Is a rambling man, but when two people are together and they're both academics and one of them gets a job in another college mm-hmm. or university, mm-hmm. there's trouble.
Exactly. I think it's also just where we're at right now, that people tend to not stay in the same jobs or the same places very long, and people are always looking for what else is out there. And I think it is an issue. I mean, when I look at, like, my parents' generation that lived in the same house for 40, 50 years, had the same jobs for that long, that's, you know, very different now from how we live.
Indeed.
My parents were both academics, I should say.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mine too, actually.
Really?
But not at the same college, and it's, you know, it's an interesting set of issues that you were exploring in your play, The Value of Empty Boxes. Now, this is part of a bigger series that happens, what, once a month?
It's once a month. Jonathan Ashford, who's also the writer, has been running it. And it's been a very successful series. It's usually packed every month. And it's a huge variety of writers, from fiction, playwrights, nonfiction, poets. They did an adult fairy tale afternoon last month. And I'm really looking forward to presenting this play. And my partner, Philip Bretzky, who's also a writer, is reading a short story, All That Porcelain. And he's somewhat new to writing, although when we lived in Provincetown, he studied with some amazing people like Grace Paley and Elizabeth McCracken, and took a seminar with Norman Mailer when he was still alive. And he's really very potent writing, and I think it'll be a really interesting combination.
Very
styles.
Interesting. Now, in your play, mm-hmm. are you acting one of the parts?
No, it's actually three actors. Claire David, John Rochester, and Meg Hackman are going to be reading the three main characters. I'll be reading the stage directions. And then the director of the reading, Chuck Maynard, is reading a cameo part.
So Aaron Levitman and Philip Retzky will be there on Sunday, the 21st of March at 4:30. It's a free event in the Wild Oats Community Room on West Cordova Road in Santa Fe. For more information, 505-983-5333. Aaron, thank you so much for being
thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the education writer for the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine with the Santa Fe New Mexican. And he's with us here just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Am I responsible for all that static?
Our audience isn't hearing it.
Oh, they're not?
No.
In that case, are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. Because I only have eyes for you, Mary Charlotte. Hey, girl, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We took a week off.
That's right.
But we're here today.
We took a week off because we had technical problems last week, not because we were not ready.
Oh, okay.
We were oh so ready.
But you called me up to tell me not to show up.
That's because we had technical problems.
I tuned in the next morning.
The transmitter.
You were on with another man.
I was not.
That's not what I heard.
That was static.
Yeah, he sounded like a guy with muscles, so I didn't come over to start anything.
So what's more to the point happening this weekend and this coming week?
There's a lot of things happening. I'm glad you asked. There's a play about gay marriage, a lecture about a guy that photographs secret military institutions. There's Miss Tess and the Bonton Parade performing, and there's also a FACT, Fine Arts for Children and Teens, 20th Anniversary Alumni Exhibit tonight.
Yay.
5:30 in the Warehouse 21 Flying Cow Gallery. It is free. There's going to be music by La Junta. 8:30, the show is going to stay up through April 5th. Head on over there and celebrate FACT. It's a terrific 20-year anniversary. I wrote a story about them this week in the paper. And they are, they're just terrific nonprofit, and they've been helping teens and young people use art to move their lives forward and in some cases maybe even stay alive. 8:30 tonight is La Junta, 5:30 is the show, Warehouse 21, free.
And John Arterton and James Mack, they're doing something called Just Married the Musical. Do you know about that?
Yes, go ahead, though, since you're talking about it. We have a story in by Rob DeWalt, really nice piece on it.
Oh, nice. It's this weekend at the Unitarian Church. Do you know that? I don't have the times in front of me.
So I know the times. Why, I can tell you everything. 7:30 Saturday and Sunday, March 20th and 21st at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Santa Fe, 107 West Barcelona, Rome. You got to pay to get in. Call Jane at 577-8018 or Mason at 577-0150 or pick up the Pasta Tempo, turn to page 16 and see Rob DeWalt's very nice economically written piece about the show.
Excellent.
We have a new, I hope he sticks around, theater and dance reviewer, Michael Wade Simpson. I think he's smart. He's really good. He's the guy reviewing now, not me. Yay. He's got a couple of reviews in today's paper of Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, which played at the Lenzic last week, and of The Art and Players, The Laugh of the Irish, which were the three Irish plays that were Teatro Paraguas.
This is the last weekend,
that's
right?
That's right. They run through this weekend, 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, 2 o'clock Sunday.
I saw one of the three, and it was fabulous.
Which one of the three?
It was the last one. It was called The Matchmaker.
Okay. Well, he disagrees with you on that, but
kidding me? I thought it was really good.
Okay.
I saw it in rehearsal. Okay. This Sunday, and by the way, for that, the three Irish comedies, there's going to be a party afterwards on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
With Irish music and all kinds of good things.
Because we just passed on St. Paddy's Day, which means I didn't get to sing Danny Boy last week because we didn't have a show.
Oh, well, it's never too late to sing Danny Boy. But first, a conversation with Ralph Metzner and Peggy Hitchcock, by George Greer, the medical director of the Hefter Research Institute. Ralph Metzner I had on the air the other day talking about his new book, Birth of a Psychedelic Culture, and that is a conversation between him and Ram Dass and Gary Bravo talking about what was happening in the 1960s. They worked with Timothy Leary in all those early psychedelic
LSD
drug experiments.
Guys.
Yeah, in Harvard and then at Millbrook.
Right.
And, you know, giving psychedelic drugs to prisoners.
Talking
and
about how
stuff.
People who are afraid of LSD have never tried it.
Well, there's a quote from Timothy Leary that went something like, LSD is a drug that induces fear in those who haven't tried it.
Right. And what's your feeling about that, having tried it yourself?
What?
I'm asking you, having tried it yourself, yes?
Well, I did go to college. Yes, I did try it in college. I hope I can say that on the radio. And it was a wonderful experience.
Uh-huh. How do I know you're not on it now when you deal with me? Do I ever look psychedelic to you or rainbow colored?
You always do. It's affected me for life.
Really?
No.
It's like that Leslie Gore song, Sunshine, Lollipops, and Rainbows. Makes me want to try some LSD with Mary Charlotte tomorrow.
What about you? What do you think about LSD?
Well, I always thought it was, lust syndrome development, and I always kind of liked that. But I never tried LSD. I never tried any hard drugs in my life. I don't want to.
Is that a hard drug?
I think being alive is a drug. But I like meeting people who've tried it, and I like hearing their stories. Particularly when they try it again and they disrobe as they're doing it.
Well, the thing is, a lot of these drugs, they were all legal when these guys were doing their experiments.
That's
and then
right.
They became illegal. And it is an interesting conversation of what the actual harm is. But that's something that you can have. If you go to Collected Works Bookstore on Sunday at 3 o'clock, and it'll be from 3 to 5, and it should be a very interesting conversation. And the book was published by Synergetic Press, which is a local press here.
And Cary Grant tried LSD in the late 50s because he was very tense, and it opened up his mind.
Really?
Yes, and everybody likes Cary Grant. He was like the king of cool, aside from Robert Mitchum.
I think it's sort of silly for people to pretend that it's a horrible, scary thing that they've never tried when they have. It was such a huge part of the culture, and probably, I don't know, probably 50% of our listeners over the age of 35 or probably less than that have tried it.
Let's do a quick email survey. Send out a...
Yeah, send an email right now to radiocafe@ksfr.org. All results confidential.
Right. The Sunshine Boys.
Yes, this is the last weekend of that, too.
Armory for the Arts Theater, 7:30 tonight. I'm going to go see it. Got to pay to get in, 984-1370. Paul Walski and Jonathan Richards as the Sunshine Boys. A pair of former vaudevillians trying to reunite to do a TV special in the 1970s. Crazy Heart, an imperfect movie with a very good performance by Oscar winner Jeff Bridges, still running at DeVargas. I also saw The Ghost Rider, which is a solid, but not great, Roman Polanski thriller. It's very old-fashioned in many ways. I would recommend it nonetheless. My review's in Pasta Tempo. Take a look. That's also at DeVargas. And other movies like The White Ribbon, Old Partner, and even a single man are still running at CCA.
How was Old Partner? It looked so good, but I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen Old Partner. A White Ribbon and a single man I can recommend. Harlan in the Shadow of Juice Seuss, story of Nazi filmmaker, is running at the screen. I did not see it, but Jonathan Richards is giving it a very good review. And The Green Zone, an Iraqi war thriller, reviewed by Bob Benziker, playing at Regal Stadium 14. Also, movie-wise, I have a big picture column. It's just got a bunch of little this's and that's, including the fact that Miss Ally McGraw, whose birthday is coming up April 1st, is being honored by the New Mexico Women in Film at 8:30 Sunday, March 21st, and as part of a program including 10 short movies played by women filmmakers. It's going to be at the New Mexico Film Museum, 418 Montezuma Street. You got to pay to get in. I'll give you a phone number, 310-266-4128. Take a look at my big picture column. And while I'm on the topic, the National Association of Latino Independent Producers is looking for participants for their upcoming Latino Writers Labs. There's two of them, one in Santa Fe in May and another one in September in Santa Monica. You are expected to take both. They're not that expensive, in my view, although I guess you have to pay for travel. Best thing to do is contact the National Association of Latino Independent Producers or look at my big picture column, page 32. There's a phone number.
One more thing at Collected Works Bookstore. Rabbi Min Kantrowitz is going to be doing an event on Thursday of next week at 6 in the evening on a book called Counting the Omer, a Kabbalistic Meditation Guide. So it's all about the Kabbalah and the values of the Kabbalah and so on.
Wait a minute. Didn't you say Homer?
Omer.
Isn't that the guy from the Greek Odyssey that traveled around the world?
There's no H.
Well, it might be silent because he's from this part of town.
Just saying. So that's at Collected Works Bookstore.
Oh, Omar Khalif.
And Collected Works Bookstore is on the web at collectedworksbookstore.com.
Very fascinating photo on the cover of Pasatiempo today. It gives me the willies, as they used to say in those old haunted house movies. Dominic Rouse, or Rouse, R-O-U-S-E. Dreamlike work. Part of a three-person show at Verve Gallery opening tonight. Verve does some great photo exhibitions. Terrific story in today's Pasatiempo. Take a look and see by Bob Benziker. Just great stuff if you like that kind of thing. Figure it out for yourself.
And there's an event by the Mosaic Dance Company, Invaders of the Heart, with special guest Arish Lam from Puerto Rico, Giacomo Zafferano, and Alaric Baribera. And that's Friday and Saturday, tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the James A. Little Theater. And they are a terrific Middle Eastern kind of fusion dance company. They expand. They're quite expansive and wonderful in the way that they do their dance.
Well, that's how it should be when you're dancing. The Interweave Bead Fest takes place at 10 o'clock Saturday, the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. You can get a one-day pass for a certain amount of money and a two-day pass for just a little bit more money.
I love the Bead Festival.
I was about to ask you about it. Check out beadfest.com, but have you been there, and why do you go?
I actually used to do quite a bit of beading. I've made a bunch of necklaces and other kinds of jewelry out of beads, and at the Bead Fest, they always have weird, strange, I mean, your run-of-the-mill stuff, but also some really beautiful, unusual stuff.
So if you're a bead fanatic, you should go, is what you're saying. 10 to 6 Saturday, and I guess Sunday as well, so... there's also a phone number, 502-243-6834, but basically 10 to 6 Saturday, Sunday at the Convention Center on Marcy Street, which has a mess of a dance floor, by the way. The dance floor is just a mess. They didn't put it in right. But that has nothing to do with the Beat Fest. What do you know about Cantor Cum Novum?
You tell me.
Well, they're a chamber music orchestra and chorus. And they're going to do some Latin American tunes of the Baroque era, as well as some music by Bach and Mozart, and a free lecture by musicologist Craig Russell. All this and more at 3 o'clock, that's the lecture, followed by the concert at 4 o'clock at First Presbyterian Church of Santa Fe on Grant Avenue. Got to pay to get in, 988-1234, or ticketssantafe.org. Emily Van Cleef still has an exhibit running at the Tybee Davis Satin Gallery in the Santa Fe Public Library. I guess the reception's tonight at 4:30. Runs through March. Check it out. Jenny Cooley Gallery. She's a very nice lady. 826 Canyon Road has, I love this, Hot Monkey Love. A group show, reception 5 to 7, because she likes those sock monkeys. You know, like the sock monkeys that we had as kids and we made
yes.
them talk?
Hot Monkey Love, huh?
Well, yeah, because you can love your... Like
your
when I was a kid...
You can love your hot monkey.
I wanted a monkey and my mother gave me like Zip, the monkey from JCPenney's. He had a yellow shirt that said Zip and he had red suspenders and a little beanie cap. And he smiled all the time. And that wasn't the same as a real monkey, even though she tried to pretend it was by making it talk. Now I wish I had that Zip.
I wish you did, too.
You go. Okay, let's get moving along here.
Hey, did we talk about Mythic Journeys? That is a film that's playing at the CCA?
We did not. It did play at the film festival, but I didn't see it. Did you?
I screened it. I didn't end up doing an interview, but for people who are into this whole question of myth, it has people like Deepak Chopra and Tim Curry and narration by Mark Hamill and very much about kind of mythic archetypes.
Oh.
I wasn't that crazy about it, but that's just totally subjective.
No, I understand.
It's won so many awards. Everybody loves it. I don't
right.
know
Right. If you like that
me,
sort of thing, you're going to like it. And if you yeah. don't like that sort of thing, you should stay home and watch the Three Stooges DVD.
You should watch Team America World Police.
What's that?
It's a Trey Parker and Matt Stone movie.
Oh.
It's a great movie.
Okay.
I've seen it 20 times.
That's not like the police videos we watch on TV at night when we're bored and they chase real criminals.
It's an animated movie, but the animated characters are marionettes. And it's a kind of
special
forces
type of... Oh, wait a minute. I know that. Oh, yes. That movie.
It's a great movie.
Okay. We should watch that.
It's a little bit twisted. Don't show it to your kids.
I don't have kids.
I'm just saying.
So I can watch it by
myself.
I was
talking to our listeners, Robert. It's not just about you.
Sometimes I don't know when you're speaking with me, and sometimes I don't know when you're speaking to our listeners. The communication gap goes both ways.
You can show it to your dogs.
I love my dogs.
I know.
Museum of Contemporary Native Arts, 108 Cathedral Place, 983-8900, has the Sovereign Image group show of photos. They also have SPLASH, which is an Institute of American Indian Arts 2010 BFA students exhibit. They are closing their main galleries through July, but those two shows are running. Head on over there. And don't forget about your museums. As spring hits here on Sundays, you can get into many of them free if you are a New Mexico resident. Many, but not all. That includes the New Mexico History Museum, which I love, the Palace of the Governors, the New Mexico Museum of Art, which has, among other things, the Art of New Mexico, How the West is Won, and New Arrivals. They also have a show on Georgia O'Keeffe's legacy in New Mexico. Site Santa Fe still has one-on-one, a group show of videos, installations, drawings, paintings, computer dialogues through early May. They're over at 1606 Paseo de Peralta. And there's just a bunch of museum-related events that you should seriously consider taking in, especially if it rains this weekend.
Yeah.
What are they saying, rain or snow?
I think they're not really sure which, or what? Some of both.
What time is it?
8:53.
Good.
You've got 5 minutes left.
It's good to do the time and the weather once in a while.
That's true.
Because I get burned up when you're driving along in your car and you have a commercial station on, and they're like, and now here's Jim Smith with the traffic.
Well, you know, most cars now have clocks in them. Mine does.
I know, but I drive an old 1995 Jeep. The top is caving in. The AM/FM radio is not playing well, but when it's on, I want to know what time it is.
I drive a 1985 Toyota, and it has a clock.
I mean, people think I come on here and give you grief. I don't have a chance.
It's not grief. It's sadness.
Sadness with me?
Just kidding.
Listen to you laugh, girl. You look forward to Friday mornings.
I do.
Makes you look smart. Now you
for
just
a change.
Yeah, you just had Aaron Leventman on about his play, right?
Yeah. There's two readings, his play and that of
Philip Retzky,
his partner.
4:30 Sunday at the Wild Oats Community Room behind the market.
That sounds good. I was thinking you could check out Ralph Metzner and then run over to that.
You could. It's free. It's at 4:30 again, Wild Oats Community Room. Check it out on Sunday. The Institute for Spanish Arts, Dance, and Guitar students are teaming up for Celebrating Our Youth with Flamenco at the Scottish Rite Center at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Got to pay to get in, 470-7828. Tuesday and Wednesday, 6 o'clock at night, Scottish Rite Center, absolutely free, student-produced operas by elementary school students. I'm going to have a story in the Daily Paper about that on Tuesday.
Excellent. Opera season's coming up.
Opera season's like 4 months away.
I know, but in my mind it's coming up because I'm getting ready to do the series with Desiree Mays.
What shows are they doing this year? Anything good?
Yeah, they're all good. A Mozart opera, a new opera. I don't know. I don't have the schedule in my head, but I can find out.
I see. Sunday night, Corazon, Limelight Karaoke, 8 o'clock, no cover. That's on Sunday. You could also catch out Savor doing Cuban music at La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda at 7.
Yay.
You could head over to Pranzo for David Geist on piano, small cover charge, 6 o'clock.
The Tales of Hoffman, Madame Butterfly, Life is a Dream, The Magic Flute, and Albert Herring. Those are the operas coming up.
Life
and I knew that, I just forgot.
Dream.
Tales of Hoffman is fantastic.
Yeah, is that like Bunny Tales?
Yes, it's about Peter Cottontail.
I had a strange dream last night. Can I tell you about it?
Uh-huh.
I was going by a little outdoor pool, and there was a little bunny on a little boat in the middle of the pool, tied to the side of the pool, but he couldn't get in. And so I started to reel him in, and he was getting nervous. And I was wondering why he was nervous. And on my right, all of a sudden, was a little black cat waiting for him to be towed in. And it was thankfully, the bunny ran away.
Was it a nightmare?
It was a strange dream, but I wouldn't call it a nightmare.
And then I had a nightmare.
Going to somebody's house, and they were going to take a bath, and that part got interesting. You had a nightmare about what?
It was weird. I woke up all scared, and my dogs were there.
You don't remember the nightmare?
I do, but I'm not going to tell it.
Because it's embarrassing?
No, just because.
Okay. You don't have to. Nightmares are not fun to recount. The Banff Mountain Film Festival, playing at the Lensic Tuesday, 7 o'clock, 988-1234. Lannan readings, did you talk about them?
No, go ahead.
I don't know much about Arundhati Roy, but he's with Avi Lewis, 7 o'clock.
She.
Well, even better. 7 o'clock Wednesday. Pay to get in, Lannan. What do you know about her?
Arundhati Roy, she's fantastic.
Oh, wait a minute. Now the name is ringing a bell.
She's from India. She's a great activist and fiction writer.
Okay, now I know. Thank you. Sorry. Sometimes when I walk in here unprepared, sort of tired, and people wonder what's going on.
No, that's a must-go event.
I'm glad I mentioned it.
Yep.
Can we mention the Gateway Brass, since it's the ensemble of the United States Air Force Band of the West, and I'm an Air Force veteran?
Yep.
7 o'clock Thursday night, Bryan Font Theater, Capitol High, no charge. 7 o'clock Thursday, Air Force Band of the West. These guys are good. Sorry about that. Meanwhile, at El Rancho de los Golondrinos, they're going to have a lecture. Manifest Destinies, the Making of the Mexican-American Race. What race is that? What did they do, like jump on their camels and go across the border?
That is a book by a writer whose name is, Laura
Gomez.
Gomez, thank you.
7 o'clock, but it's not at Rancho de los Golondrinos. 7 o'clock Thursday at Santuario de Guadalupe, because Rancho's closed until April.
Oh, okay.
So head on over there. There's no charge. It sounds like a really interesting event. And that same night, the same day at 2 o'clock, the musical Just in Crime is on. I know nothing about it.
All right.
But it's at St. John's Methodist Church on Old Pecos Trail. Got to pay to get in. 2 o'clock on Thursday. That was a fun show. I thank you for having me.
So, Danny Boy?
Oh, Danny Boy, we're already past St. Patty's Day. But I love the song and I sing it every night. When you're along, I'm glad that I'm in Santa Fe. Because Mary Charlotte, as far as I'm concerned, you're all right. And I will wait outside your window every night and sing a song that shows you how I love. Oh, Mary Charlotte, I think you are just wonderful. And you're the only one that I am thinking of.
Aww.
I made it rhyme.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. You did make it rhyme. You rhymed St. Patty's Day with Santa Fe. That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Let's see. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org.
I love watching you stream live.
Podcasting at Santa Fe Radio. What's that? SantaFeRadioCafe.org. My email is radiocafe@ksfr.org. We're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Mary Lynn LeBlanc, wonderful engineer.
Thank you, Mary Lynn.
As always. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and then Jazz a la Carta.
Don Ricardo Perez.
Don Ricardo Perez and Helga Ancona.
Sí, a mí me gusta este programa.
Yeah, mí también. Tú me gustas también.
Oh, sí, por supuesto. Como a mí me gusta hacer amor con... We better get off the air here, quick.
Hasta la vista, Robert.
See you around, lady.
Ciao.